Leo, it's time again for the Tech Yeah Games podcast. Are you pumped?
Dude, finally. Been waiting all week. So much news to talk about this week.
There's so much going on. I'm your host, Tony, here with my amazing co-host, Leo.
Yeah. Happy to be here again. I love that you keep having me back.
I love having you, bro. Every week, I'm just so excited to talk to you. Not a lot of news to talk about.
Actually, there's some news to talk about. Small amount.
Surprisingly little, and all of it is about a game that I'm pretty much tired of hearing and talking about. But we are going to get into some news today. And we're going to talk about our game of the year today.
I am looking forward to that conversation. Very subjective. I am too. But, you know, those conversations are always fun.
And, you know, there were, you know, going over the list, there's a lot of trash that came out this year, for sure. But there are some games in there that I think are going to be really fun to talk about.
I agree.
You know, like some dark horses and some, let's call them remakes that came along in this period.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about a lot of them already, too. But I think it will be fun to talk about them, sort of not pitting them against each other, but kind of with hindsight and a little bit of time
letting
passed.
Them battle to the death.
Yeah, okay. That's an option, too.
Yeah. But before we get into all of that, Leo, my friend, have you been playing any games this week?
Yeah, I didn't play a lot of games, but I did play one game that I really enjoyed, and it was Final Fantasy IX.
Final Fantasy IX.
Yeah, you heard about this?
Maybe the best Final Fantasy.
Possibly. I will say this, like playing again, I'm playing the Android port, which is very good, and it's really a remarkable game. Like, it really is.
It's great.
And it really is. It's quite joyful. It is beautiful. Like, it is so gorgeous. I couldn't get over it. And I do know that it's been upgraded for Android. But even so, like, those pre-rendered backgrounds, I fucking love 32-bit era pre-rendered backgrounds. I think they are so cool and such a lost art. And they were so of their time. But some of those are really remarkable. And I don't know any game that does it better than this one. Maybe Resident Evil 3. But, like, yeah, it's high level.
I love the divergence of Final Fantasy IX, like breaking away from what Final Fantasy became after 7.
Yeah,
and just being like, no, we're gonna make like a fantasy story with, like, you know, weird fantasy characters and
very weird,
very weird, like, kind of lean into.
Yeah,
but that's what Final Fantasy was, right? Like, it was these crazy characters. And, you know, I feel like 9 just, like, went back to that formula, embraced, like, classes again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where I feel like they got so far away from that, like, original Holy Trinity of classes. Yeah. And
even here, they're still doing some, like, unique stuff. It doesn't feel rote at all. Like, it still feels pretty experimental. It just does have sort of a classic vibe and a really very joyful vibe, too. I mean, it goes to some dark places, which you've talked about. But, like, overall, it just doesn't have any of that cloud squall bullshit, which, you know, again, I like those games, too. They're just, it's kind of refreshing to play something that's not trying to be depressing.
Yeah. It's not trying to be the heaviest fucking thing you're going to see.
Yeah,
this
it just
year,
doesn't you know? Take itself all that seriously, and that can be really charming. Also,
yeah, I mean, we saw Sephiroth kill Mario last week,
to see the other side of that.
It's nice to see the other side.
Yeah, exactly. And there's still those weird character designs. Like, Kuja is still fucking weird. And then, what's the chef with, like, the weird tongue? The blue mage? I forget.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's weird.
Vivi, though. Vivi looks amazing. I think we talked about Vivi last week. But, yeah, like, that character design is wonderful. He's so sweet. And
Vivi's the shit, bro. Like, just going back to, like, black mages, which are the best character type in Final Fantasy. Making
really,
Vivi,
possibly,
like, the
ever.
Archetype. Yeah, ever making Vivi the archetype for it and, like, having that diminutive, like, kind of attitude, I think is fucking amazing.
I agree.
I think it's so great. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And the CGI cutscenes are remarkable. Like, they've aged so well. I think I said that about Final Fantasy VIII as well, and I agree that that's true too. But Jesus, like, it's just such a pinnacle of what the 32-bit era was capable of as far as music, as far as recording, as far as the way it looks.
What a game.
It's a powerhouse, and it really is quite fun. I think I'm only like 8 hours in, and it is fun playing it on my phone, but what a game, really. I don't know that I have anything else to add other than, like, hey, newsflash, like Super Metroid last week, Final Fantasy IX, very good. Who knew?
I do feel like a lot of people sleep on 9.
I agree.
Right? Because
it felt safe.
And I think there's a certain, like, Final Fantasy fans, like, think they're the coolest dorks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's definitely this, like, you know, we're heady and we love music and and art.
We're not
and,
Philistines like those dragon warrior assholes.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like Nine is kind of abandons all that. And I feel like a lot of Final Fantasy fans think that it's like dumb or childish or, you know, almost like it's another Mystic Quest, you know, and it's no Mystic Quest.
Not at all. No, it's great. It's like a good Pixar movie where it's like, no, this is just solidly constructed from top to bottom. And the fact that it is like leans away from the intentional teenage angst is really quite nice as someone who's in their 30s playing it now. I just relate a lot more to Zidane than Squall. I will say, though, I don't like how, and this is not unique to this game, and I'm not trying to say it's cultural or whatever, but I do not like how they sexualize a 16-year-old girl. Like, it feels really gross, and I don't know. There's just, like, whenever it comes up, I can kind of look past it, but it is like, dude, please stop talking about how hot a 16-year-old is. Like, that makes me profoundly uncomfortable.
She's so fucking hot, bro. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? And I'm like, I know the guys who wrote this. I don't know them, but, like, I bet they're not 16, so what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's weird, you know, and it's funny because, like, not even just from, like, games, but, like, from fantasy culture in general, you know, like, everybody loves Game of Thrones, and no one wants to, like, realize that, like, Daenerys is 14 years old in the books.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
When they watch a show, like, they don't draw a lot of attention to that, do they?
I mean, and, you know, she gets naked. She's obviously an adult in the show for show reasons, but... You know, like, there is that, like, dark side of storytelling, you know what I mean? And I don't know if I just am too accepting of it, and that makes me part of the problem or not, but, which I'm fully willing to say I'm likely part of the problem, right?
I think there's, like, if it's part of the story, like, we always talk about, like, I don't have an issue with gratuitous sex or violence if it is, you know, used in the service of something. I think in Game of Thrones is kind of an interesting example because part of the fact she is so young is sort of a commentary on how fucked up, you know, Westeros is and how shitty her life is because those are very depressing books. Here, though, it feels completely unnecessary. Like, there was just no reason to talk about how hot this 16-year-old princess is. And it's also kind of shitty because she's cool. Like, she's a cool, strong, interesting character. So it does feel even worse to just be like, hey, man, you're doing so much right. But anyway. So
I think Japanese people fuck 16-year-olds though. Like, I think that's the problem, right? Like, I think like that really is the issue at hand. Is it like,
they're just like, what do you mean? What's weird about this? I think, like, hey man, they're kids.
I think they fuck 16-year-olds. Like, I think that's part of it. And I mean, this is no shade being thrown at them. Like, that's definitely not within my value system.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't think, I mean, I'm sure it is frowned upon, but I don't think it is like, illegal issue.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it does come up a lot with Japanese games, like in anime in general. It's like, it's one of those things you kind of have to look past in a way, but I think this was such an egregious example of like, why? It was so unnecessary. It added nothing of value to a game that is otherwise so charming and sweet and like, and joyful. I don't know. It was just like
just
a
how
big,
they live, bro.
Yeah, I guess so.
Just how they live, right?
Yeah. Like, and again, it's like, well, Zidane's only 17 or whatever. And it's like, yeah, but the guy who wrote this is not. Like, come on, you can't pull that shit on me. But anyway, it was just funny. But all that aside, that's like the only negative red mark. And it's not like a huge part of the story or anything. It's not a deal breaker by any means. It was just something that kind of stood out. Another thing that stood out when it comes to Final Fantasy. Maybe we're turning this back into Final Fantasy podcast. Who knows?
Maybe. Well, this is a Final Fantasy 15 coming again.
Coming at you. When 16 comes out, we're going to have to really lean into that.
So in a few years.
Yeah, in 5 years. So I tried to play Final Fantasy 14 again. After our Guild Wars conversation last week, I got kind of excited about it yesterday and was trying to set it up. And I will say I finally managed to log in and it was wonderful. And every bit is... lovely as I remember, but what I want to talk about is how fucking horrible their like infrastructure is for that game. It is so unforgivable. As far as like the actual sign up process, it's almost unusable. Like Mognet is so bad.
Yeah, Mog Station sucks.
Yeah, Mog Station, Mognet's from FF9. But yeah, it's like it's really bad. It has like a very Nintendo vibe where they just clearly don't give a shit over there as far as like internet, whatever. But I'm like, dude, you can't play this game without the internet. It was so hard. It took like 40 minutes to actually get into my account because I had to reset my password. There's the two different versions. I had to like download the client and everything. And it was just, it really unfortunate how like some companies just don't give a shit about the online component, which for an MMO is really pretty unforgivable.
It's amazing to me how Japan is still somehow blind to the internet, like, and how it works. You know what I mean? Like, it's not all of it, but it just seems like,
yeah,
you know, Nintendo,
the big ones, Capcom, yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's just weird. It's like, guys, you're clearly very good at making video games. Why is this one part?
Fucking 16-year-olds, yeah, but the internet
and sexualizing children. You're very good at those two things. Why can't you just make an online client that doesn't look like it's from, you know, geosites?
The bridge too far, bro. Yeah, they just won't cross.
It's beyond the pale. Yeah, Animal Crossing, which we'll get into later, is a classic example of like that game would have been so much better if it was just even remotely competent online. But anyway, all that to say, like Final Fantasy IX, Final Fantasy XIV is awesome. We've talked plenty about it, but it was definitely quite eye opening to try and get back in and realize just how incompetent it's been designed from that perspective.
Yeah.
So still a great game though. I'm not.
It is. It's a great game. Oh, yeah. I haven't played it in a while, but it is a great game.
Yeah, it's really fun. It was just what I was hoping to when I first logged back in and my character was sitting where I left her. And it was immediately just like, oh, yay. You know that feeling. I'm sure you've played a lot of MMOs, but like when you do log back in and it's been a few months, it's like, oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. I love this. So it'll be fun to re-explore it this week.
I do think they added a school uniform glamour and I need to get great. To get that.
Make sure they're 16.
That's very important to me.
Yeah,
it's like cosplay, okay? It's not actual. My character is not a student. She's a master.
She's not 16. Okay? No, I agree.
How dare you. How dare you. And did you get to play anything else this week?
I played a couple other things. I played some Overwatch and a little bit of Dead by Daylight, but those are the main ones. Getting back on that Final Fantasy grind and really enjoying it. But I'd love to know what you got up to this week.
So like for starters, I did play Final Fantasy 14, but, what I did play, kind of along that line is, I jumped in a little more Black Desert Online. I talked before a few months ago about kind of the seasonal servers
and how they kind of set it up to make it a little more like streamlined and.
Yeah. And so they made a new class and they're starting a new season server on the 22nd, so on Tuesday. So, I jumped in, I kind of got myself set up to try and play that kind of season out.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun to kind of, normally I miss it and then like I jump in really late in the season and it kind of defeats a lot of the purpose of it. Yeah. You know, like I'm not like with the flow of it. Yeah, well, this time I'm ready.
Cutting edge.
Okay. Yeah. This time I'm ready for the season. I'm jumping in when it starts.
Did you make a new character class? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so there's a new class. She's like kind of like Brigitte from Overwatch. She has a big shield and a mace. Totally copied her from Overwatch. But so I'm excited to jump in and play some of that. So I jumped in, got kind of my last season character kind of situated, set up my banks. Like, you know, that game, you have like banks in all the different cities. So I went through and kind of consolidated them all into one place and, you know, did a bunch of kind of honeydews and maintenance and housekeeping for it. Yeah, that game has a lot of housekeeping, like far more than Final Fantasy does.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and did that. But the game I played, I played a couple of things. I played some Warzone. They released a new map. They finally did the thing where they merged Black Ops weapons into Warzone. And the Black Ops weapons aren't very good. They did add this tiny Alcatraz map. Or they add it to the main map, but there's a mode where you're just at Alcatraz and it's kind of,
that's cool. Like it's a little smaller.
It's like a tiny VR where everyone just drops.
Yeah. That's always fun. I miss those. Those feel like kind of old school, like back in the day when you'd be like, no, like it has like an Unreal Tournament, you know, 99 vibe where you're just like constantly the TTK is super, super low and you're just constantly respawning and shooting each other. That can be really fun.
Yeah, and you can in this one, it's a battle royale, but you can respawn if your teammate's still alive, right? So there's like a little respawn timer.
That's cool.
So you can jump right back in if your teammate doesn't die, which is fun, right? It makes for these like big sniping wars where it just lasts forever, like
And you see the other person coming back to life, you're like, God damn it.
Yeah. So that's the worst feeling. Well, the funny thing is you parachute in still, so it's like, you know, you just see this guy parachute and die and parachute and die.
Yeah, just constantly.
And die. You're like, where's his teammate?
It's like Prometheus. Yeah,
where's his teammate? I played some Apex Legends this week. I still got some friends that are playing it for the season, so I wanted to jump in and give it a shot. It's okay. It's still Apex Legends. Like, that game, it's just a good game, yeah, man.
Very competent.
Very competent, right? Like, I feel like I have these, like, very specific complaints about other BRs and those type of games. And I don't have a lot of super high praise for Apex, but I also don't really have complaints about it. You know,
it's like a Marvel movie where you're like, yeah, it was fine. It was very fun from start to finish. It never blew anyone's mind, but it was.
Yeah, it's kind of like Overwatch in that way where I'm like, yeah, it works really well.
Yeah.
It's got some good characters. You know, I'm not that high on it, but I also would have a hard time being like, this game fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, it's just, it's not easy to do with that game. But the game I did play, and we'll talk about this game again later on. So I don't know if you've been paying attention, but they released 4 new skins for Ghost of Tsushima Legends.
No, I haven't. I've been completely checked out on that. Are they cool?
So, yeah, they're cool. So they released 4 skins, 1 for each class, based on classic Sony games.
Oh, really?
Right? Yeah. So, like, the samurai gets a God of War suit that's white with the red, like, like runes drawn on it. The hunter gets, like, an alloy, like, a visor thing.
Yeah, that
it's,
makes
like, kind of a leather,
perfect sense.
Leatherish one. The assassin gets a Shadows of the Colossus one. It kind of looks like, what is that thing? It almost looks like a monkey. You know, like, I'm going to show you the picture because it's good. But and then the Ronin gets a Bloodborne one. It's like the crow thing. So it's got like black feathers
that
running
is so
down
cool.
it.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's cool. You just got to play one survival with each class to unlock the skin. I think it can be any difficulty. I've been doing them on gold because I'm like ranked up pretty high, but
you're the best.
I'm the best, right? I'm the best. I'm pretty good at assassin in that game, but like I tried to do it as hunter on gold and I was terrible. I did so bad.
Well, I think that speaks to like, you know, how well the game is designed, right?
Yeah. I'm shocked at how good some people are at.
Yeah.
Like, classes what I do terrible at, you know.
Oh yeah, that's cool. I love that kind of shit. Like, if you're gonna be platform exclusive, which, you know, there's a whole conversation we had about the sort of ethics of that, but if you are gonna do it, it is cool to kind of just lean into it. And
yeah,
I think Sony's been on point with that lately.
Yeah, lean in, get some, right? Like, take advantage of all that stuff.
I love these.
Yeah, they're sick, right? Yeah, so good. I love the Assassin one, the Shadows of the Colossus one. I think it looks so cool.
Yeah, the Bloodborne one is
really
cool, too.
Yeah, the Bloodborne one is cool. So, yeah, I've been playing that, unlocking those. That game always gives me a reason to go back. Another game I played, which will also come up later, because this one, I'm going to, little spoiler, is going to be pretty high on my list.
Ooh.
But I got the plat in Astrobot. Not very hard.
Oh, interesting. Talk about another game that is very like leaning into Sony, right?
That game is sick, dude. Yeah. It is so good.
Totally. It looks like, fucking great. It's oddly enough, like, one of the reasons I'm most excited for a PS5. I love the VR one. I thought it was completely underrated. So I'm very excited to see what they've been up to since then.
You know, what's funny. Like, so to get the platinum, right, you got to do everything in the game. And so one of the sections is like speedrun area, and it's got 8 speedrun maps, basically one for each like type of map, right? There's, I know you haven't played the game, but there's like a monkey suit and a spaceship suit and a ball suit.
Yeah.
And so like, you gotta like do speedruns in all those. Then there's ones for different like map types. And so for the platinum, you gotta do every speedrun map, and you basically gotta do them in like less than a minute. It's not very hard. But so I did them all. And as soon as I finished them all, I start getting like pings in like Facebook chat groups and stuff that are like, bro, you're so slow, right? And it's people Because it's people getting pinged that, like, I put up a time,
yeah,
like, close to theirs.
That's funny.
And so,
like, on the, like, PS5 yeah. leaderboards? Or, like, how does that work?
On the, well, so it's got, like, a PS5 leaderboard. It's got a friend leaderboard.
Gotcha.
And so they, and the game is good at, like, surfacing the fact that, like, it'll show you when the, like, it's so weird. PS5 UI is weird. But when you go to the game and you pull up the, like, lower UI bar, it'll, it'll show you, like, oh, this person just posted a time, right? It'll show you their time, so you can, like, go in and beat them. And so then I got caught in this cycle of, like, now I got to, like, start running these. I got to beat these times. I'm nobody's clown. He brought the heat. I'm going to show him what's up, right?
That's funny. I love and that so, idea of someone be like, hey, man, you're slow. And you're like, damn, bro, I thought I did pretty good. But I guess well, I'm posting, a loser.
Yeah, they're posting screenshots in our group chat.
You just look like a huge idiot.
Be like, what do you got, bro? No, I don't worry. I shut him down. By the end of the night, he
yeah.
his time was fucking dog
nice.
Shit.
Yeah. Showed him.
Yeah. Fucking loser. How dare you? How dare don't you snap. Bring that heat?
Yeah.
When you're not even fast. You know, like
yeah.
how dare you? So
that is cool. That's kind of an interesting, like, unexpected, like, yeah, that must have been kind of a fun surprise to be engaged with that on a game that you were probably not expecting to feel that level of, like, competition.
And even just earning the platinum in that game, like, man, what a fucking great game.
Yeah, I'm super stoked for it. I can't wait.
What a great game. I also played some Cyberpunk. We will definitely talk more about Cyberpunk. Yeah. I talked about it so much last week that I really don't want to spend too much time on it again because I feel like that's what everyone is like.
Yeah, no, totally. I hear you.
I always think gaming media sucks, and I feel like the clearest example is when stuff like this happens and everything is about Cyberpunk every day, you know? And it's like,
yeah, it's just an obvious SEO thing where it's like, oh my God, come on.
Yeah. It's SEO. It's uninspired. Yeah. It's not serving anyone. And, you know, and I think in a lot of ways it drums up some of these problems yep. that the game is having with platform holders. Right.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's kind of a manufactured crisis. I'm totally with you on that, but I am curious, like, are you still enjoying it overall?
Yeah, I like the game. I basically have beat it, like, so there's a lot of different endings, right?
Yeah.
And so I've beat the, like, mainline the story endings, right?
Yeah.
I think most of the other endings are behind, like, side quests, like, where you gotta do, like, these side quests for certain characters to kind of unlock different versions of the endings. And I've done some of those, but I'm kind of trying to do all of them before I go back and... There's basically one, like, this is the ending mission, right? It's kind of like Mass Effect, right? Yeah. Where it's like, oh, here's the, like, the
this is
the
it.
Going in mission. Yeah. Yeah. But if you do other stuff before that, you can change how that mission goes. So I'm kind of running through and doing some of that stuff. Yeah, I really like the game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't think it's the best game ever or anything, but I still like it a lot.
And it
know?
Doesn't have to be. Yeah. Like, we'll get more into this, but yeah, it's like,
yeah.
It's okay
I wish
for a
it
game
didn't
to just
crash.
Be good.
Right, like I wish it didn't crash. I wish it.
Yeah, that sucks.
I wish it did run better. I wish it looked a little better. But you know, whatever. Like it's a PS4 game. Like I didn't expect it to be like next gen, and you know,
it's no Miles Morales.
It's definitely no Miles Morales. That game is smooth, man. but yeah, I don't want to harp on it too long.
Yeah.
But,
no, I
did.
We talked about it last week. If you want to. Hear us really go off on it, but I am glad to hear you're still enjoying it. And I have a feeling I haven't played it yet, but I have a feeling I'll be pretty along the same lines where I'm just like, yeah, this is cool, man. Like it's fine for a game to just be cool and good. It does suck.
Yeah.
It crashes though. That is pretty like, it's pretty weak on next gen hardware.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I didn't love the, endings, I've got so far, but, that's okay. It's not all about the ending.
Sounds like it's not going to be your game of the year.
It's about the friends you made along the way. No,
sure, your cyber you friends.
Made. Yeah, your cyber friends. Yeah, so not my game of the year, that's for certain. Well, with that, let's take a quick break. Then we'll talk about some of these stories, and then we'll have our game of the year discussion.
Yeah.
Leo, do you have a nice rainy break?
Yeah, I was revisiting David Cage's masterpiece, Heavy Rain. You ever play Heavy Rain?
No, I tried, but it kept making me have to pee.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens to most people when they play David Cage's Heavy Rain.
David Cage.
Yeah. Which, for the record, I should say is really awful. I do not actually like it at all. Just get that on the record.
I don't believe you. So how about that?
We'll have a spinoff show where it's just me defending games you think I like for some reason.
Yeah, I think that would actually be a really good show.
I'd listen to that.
Let's do that. So before we get a game of the year, I feel like we have to talk about these news stories. I don't really want to.
Yeah. But it's our job, it's our very high paying job that we have.
We're just going to touch them real quick. There's a lot of cyberpunk discourse. I'm not that interested in being a part of it, but and you'll kind of see I think by how we talk about these stories.
Yeah.
But they are the only news stories of the week. So I'm going to bring them up.
Yeah. And it is interesting. So, I think.
So Jason Schreier wrote a story for Bloomberg. Cyberpunk game makers face hostile staff after failed launch.
Failed launch.
Yeah.
Jesus. Sorry, Jason Schreier headline, isn't it?
Yeah, I had another friend say, Cyberpunk was a flop, and I was like, no, I don't think not by a flop. Not by a long
time. It wasn't a flop in that it made more money by the time it was released than its entire development budget. But other than that, terrible flop.
Yeah, I wish I could invest in the Polish stock market. Maybe I could somewhere. You probably could.
Some CDPR, paper ETF, yeah.
Yeah, CDPR is going to get quite the bump, just because they drove their price down so low. Those kinds of things are good for investors, just so you know.
Yeah.
So they had a all-hands meeting, it looks like, or a staff meeting, CD Projekt Red. And honestly, this whole story kind of hinges on a few people that asked some poignant questions that really slapped, One employee asked the board why it has said in January the game was complete and playable when that wasn't true.
So what's valid question.
The board answered that it would take responsibility, whatever that means.
That literally means nothing.
It's not a quote. So complete and playable is in quotes, but nothing else here is quoted. So what did the board actually say? Evidence. These are the things that drive me crazy about these types of stories.
Yeah.
Is it's like, I feel like it's an employee being like, hey, Jason Schreier, I fucking stuck it to the man. And he's like, well, what'd the man say? Nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. Some bullshit.
You know how they are taking responsibility.
Jason Schreier's like, fucking yes.
Yeah. Finally. Yeah, seriously. There was another question. Where is it about making a game about corporate greed or something? Where is it? I don't know. I thought it was in a story, but there was something about making a game about corporate greed and when they're dealing with corporate greed, and I'm like, that's not what the game's about. It's not that's not really what that game is, right? You are battling a corporation, but
yeah, it's not it's an really indictment important. Of middle level management.
No, in not Poland. Really.
For sure. Although I don't know, that kind of sounds like a good game. They should make a CD Projekt Red simulator.
That would be dope. If their next game was cool. about themselves,
that would be right? That would be fascinating. Actually, I don't think anyone's ever done that before. That'd be kind of cool.
It would be cool, and it would be so meta that I think it would really, really slap.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm gonna say about that story.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. Next. I think we've talked a lot at length about that whole conversation. So,
about the reporting, about kind of these
and about them
snippets.
And about everything.
I just like stories based on a snippet,
maybe a fact would be good to have in there.
An employee told us they said mean things during the meeting. Now it's a hostile, work environment, right?
And it's a fucking flop. The biggest failure in video game history.
Yeah.
It's like Anthem on.
Yeah, what's funny, Well, so the next story is, Sony pulls Cyberpunk from the PlayStation Store. A lot of you probably heard this. This came out, what day was it? Thursday or something?
Thursday or Friday.
Thursday or Friday. I don't remember what day. The story I'm looking at is from GameIndustry.biz, James Batchelar. And there's not a lot to it, right? Sony pulled it down. Their quote was, "So SIE strives to ensure a high level of customer satisfaction. Therefore, we will begin to offer a full refund for all gamers via PlayStation Store. SIE will also be removing Cyberpunk from PlayStation Store until further notice." It's not down on Xbox Store. It's still there, but they are offering refunds for the game. Best Buy as well is offering refunds for physical copies that are opened, right? So the refund gamut runs large. I think this is so strange.
It is strange. I think it's like it's actually pretty unprecedented. Like, I can't think of another example of this.
Not on PlayStation. Like, on PC for sure. Yeah.
Well, the Wild West of software development on the PC. But yeah, no, these like super high profile releases on consoles, I don't know that any come to mind where they've been like, oh, essentially we're doing a product recall because the quality is so bad.
If anything, this seems more like a beef with CDPR and Sony than it is some kind of Sony like being like, we're unwilling to sell this.
Oh yeah, yeah. Broken because no, they're just so moral. Yeah, no, yeah. Obviously.
You know, I think that they had discussions. What I assume the discussion was, CDPR said, you guys need to honor these refunds. And Sony's like, fuck you. And CDPR is like, well, we're going to tell people to just ask you for a refund. And Sony's like, well, then we're taking it off the store. Yeah. And they're like, fine.
It's kind of like the Fortnite like, Apple thing.
Yeah. I feel like that's more of what got us here than some kind of
moral crusade.
This didn't meet our high standards.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, 100%. I agree with you. Absolutely. I don't think Sony's like, yeah, I guess that's what's so irritating about this whole thing is like they really, it does feel, no matter how you slice it, like CD Projekt Red was really just trying to get one under the radar. And like the fact that people are like, nah, this is trash. You cannot sell this. Like they wanted to get away with it. And if no one had brought it up and if everyone was like, yeah, it sucks, but whatever, we're not talking about it anymore. You know, no one would have brought it up again. It's not like Sony would have been like, wait a minute, this is substandard software if everyone was cool with it. And it just has that thing we always talk about where it's just very cynical, like gross marketing speak, where they're just like, well, put out a shitty game, not a shitty game, but like a shitty version of a game. And that by all accounts is pretty much busted and just hope for the best. And then if people, you know, call us on it, then we'll deal with the problem, you know?
Yeah. I think, you know, shareholders get involved and you become, you answer to a whole different set of profit driven people. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
you know how those Polish shareholders are.
Oh well, yeah. It's one thing if you got to make sure you, you know, honor your deal with Doritos to have Cyberpunk Cool Ranch out, you know, in January or whatever.
Damn, that sounds good.
It does sound good. but it's a whole different issue when there are people that have a stake in your company basically telling you, like, this is when this has to happen. Otherwise, you're mismanaging your company. You know, you're breaking the law. Yeah. You know, it's...
Yeah, and these are huge numbers, like, as far as money goes. Like, these, it can't be understated how, like... These are not small deals being made.
Yeah, and so I think it really was a recipe for disaster. Yeah. I do agree. I think CDPR was like, we'll just get it out.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe we'll get some last-minute magic and kind of get this thing in.
Yeah, like BioWare,
we'll get enough tape on it that it's not going to, like, fall apart, you know?
And then, again, if people hadn't called them on it, no one would be talking about this, you know? It's not like the standards are so high. It's only because people are like, hey, man, this is actually pretty much unacceptable. And again, I should state, I have not played it on PS4, so I have no personal experience with it, but by all accounts, it's not the best version.
Also, there's nothing else going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Like, that I think is that, true.
I think it's a real, it really hurts them that, like, the consoles did just make it out, but there's really, like, no other games, like, around this time.
Well, and it kind of backfired too, right? Like, I think they did that on purpose to really try and be like, no, December, you know, we're not going to be part of the Game of the Year conversation, but we're just going to, it's going to be Cyberpunk month, which it has been. And I feel like maybe it backfired a little bit.
Yeah. Too much spotlight.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And you know, and Call of Duty sucked. And like, you know, like,
well, yeah, I keep forgetting that came out.
Yeah. Like the conversation is so, everyone's waiting for something good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's it's just nothing. Not coming.
Not to be like depressing, there's nothing.
Like Miles Morales was good. Yeah. You know, I think the PS5 launch stuff was pretty good, but that was a couple months ago now or 6 weeks or I don't even know.
Time has no meaning anymore.
Time has no meaning anymore. And even the stuff that was good, like, you know, Miles Morales, a cross-generation game. Demon Souls, we've all played before.
Assassin's Creed, sounds cool, but it's not gonna, set the world on fire in the way Cyberpunk.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think they ended up in a, like, yeah, like, under too hot a spotlight for, you know, to watch them take a shit, right? Yeah. Like in, and agreed, I think it's unacceptable to sell a game on a platform that doesn't really work on that platform. And so, you know, hopefully they get together. I think they will. Of I think that game will get to a functional place. Yeah. They're a PC developer. The Witcher was broken. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm not shocked or anything, but I do think people that bought it and like it or interested in that game deserve a better version. So, you know, hopefully they find a way to make it right with those people. And, you know, hopefully they offer something to people that stuck with them and, you know, left their money in the Cyberpunk coffers and didn't get a refund. Right. I think it's always good when people do those make rights and are like, you know, thanks for being there on day one and not getting a refund. Here's the DLC for free or something. Right.
Yeah. And let's not forget, like, it's not, again, this was not a financial flop. Like, I feel like the people are trying to like twist the discourse into pretending like this is some sort of failure. And it's like, I think it's a PR failure, but it's only a PR failure because so many people gave them so much money for a product. Like, it's very interesting to see how people are trying to spin this as like, they're fucking fucked. Like, no, dude, they made more money than like you or I could even conceive of.
Yeah.
And it's only been a month. Yeah. Like, yeah. Anyway, it's just interesting. It's interesting to see how the discourse shifts around that.
Well, and how people like write their own narrative to like what's happening.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's funny.
All right. Well, the cyber news out of the way.
Cyber news. Could that be the name of our new podcast?
Yeah. I'm down for cyber news 2021.
Yeah, we have to change it every year. It's a SEO nightmare, but, you know, we got to do it.
We could call it 2030 or something, and then at least buy us 9 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
sure.
The world's going to end before
2030
anyway, so. Well, now comes what everyone's been waiting for, all right? The most anticipated game of the year list of the year. The Tech Yet Games. Game of the Year 2020.
List of the year.
Can I get a round of applause?
Finally.
Sounded like you were masturbating, Leo.
I was.
Please don't masturbate.
Why not?
During the show.
I'm excited.
Right. Yeah, okay, whatever.
I love video games, Tony. Okay. Don't give me a hard time.
If that's what gets you going, then just go with it. I'm not a kink shamer.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how you want to approach this. I have a little list right here I made of games that I was into this year.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it. Let's just talk about like the games that made the biggest impact on us, any sort of context for them. And like, and I don't even know if we have to get mired down in the conversation like, well, did this come out this year? Technically, does it count? More so just like, yeah, what were your games of the year? And if you had to choose one, what would it be?
Sorry, my phone is blowing up right now.
Yeah, people want to know.
I'm going to read my list here. This is like 11 games, I think. I probably missed a couple, but here's kind of my thing. And I kind of excluded like the long running BRs and stuff. Like you won't see Apex or even like Final Fantasy 14 on here, which are games I put a lot of time into.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to keep talking about them. So my list right now, out of no particular order, I will pick the top ones here at the end. Demon's Souls, Cyberpunk.
Mm.
Astro's Playroom,
mm-hmm.
Fall Guys,
yeah.
Genshin Impact, Spider-Man Miles Morales,
yeah.
Risk of Rain 2.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Hades, Persona 5 Royale,
yep.
Animal Crossing,
mm-hmm.
And Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah. I mean, we were kind of talking about how there weren't that many good games this year, but like those are all extremely awesome, cool games.
Yeah, I would say Cyberpunk's probably the underperformer on that list.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's hard; it's recency bias, and who knows?
Yeah, who knows where it'll get? But is there anything you noticed I did not call out on that list that you would want to add to yours?
No, I mean, I'd like to hear your thoughts on some of those first, but all the games I played the most that were even of any relevance this year, you know, I like to play games from many different time periods that aren't really in the running, but as far as games I played the most and was most impressed by in 2020, that list definitely covered all of them, and then some.
There's one that's not on here that you would have wanted, I'm sure.
Oh, Resident Evil?
No, Last of Us.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, you didn't play that, though.
That's why I didn't put it on my list and thought you would put it on your list.
Yeah. I think if I had to choose a list, I don't think I'd have that many games on it, but for sure the games that made the biggest impact were The Last of Us, no question, as far as just like pushing narrative forward. Persona 5 Royals, definitely, without question, the game that I played the most and was most enthusiastic about. Again, I don't know if that counts necessarily because it's like an expansion, but and then I do think Animal Crossing I spent a lot of time with. And we don't talk that much about Animal Crossing, but I do think it cannot be overstated what a huge impact it had on like the gaming industry as a whole.
Yeah, I spent so much time in Animal Crossing. Like so much
time. And I expect I will again too. Like, you know, I'm sure if I get depressed or something in 2021, which will probably happen, Animal Crossing sounds like a great, you know, balm for that.
Yeah, we were having weekly Animal Crossing parties at one point, you know, like
and that's not
my girlfriend's playing thing. Animal Crossing right now. Like, you know, it's
she won't stop. Not a small thing.
She won't stop. She's got my Switch and her Switch side by side trying to get recipes, right?
Like just trading back and forth like Pokemon Red and Blue.
Yeah. So I went ahead and sorted these. I'm going to talk about my top five and I'll go through and give my thoughts. And maybe if you have top five you know, you want to bring up those two.
Yeah. But there'll be some crossover,
I'll go in reverse order. So my number five. Persona 5 Royal.
Yep.
Great game. Beautiful game. If it was a new game this year that wasn't a remake, it was probably number one. I already know the music, though, and that's kind of my favorite thing. Like, I already know the art style, which is probably my other favorite thing about that game. It's funny. It's a game I like to look at more than I like to play, almost, in some ways. You know?
Totally.
It is neat. It's an interesting game to play, but nothing really beats the style of that game, right? Like, it's just so cool. You want to have it, like, it's a game you like want to be friends with.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like you want to be in its crew and you want people to know it, right? Because it just makes you that much cooler to be like in its like radius.
Yeah. And you want to share it with people, right? You want to be like, check this out.
Yeah. I don't think there's higher praise for like the coolness of a game to be like, I just want people to know that I know about this game. Yeah. You know, like
I think it's fair to say it's the coolest game of 2020. You think that's fair?
Yeah.
Even though it is like just essentially the same game from 5 years ago with a pretty significant expansion pack, but even so.
I would say Persona 5 is the coolest game of the last 10 years.
Yeah. Right? I agree with that.
Like maybe the coolest game
possibly
ever.
Possibly just ever, but.
Yeah, possibly. Like just based on the art and the music and just the vibe of it is so cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
My number four is Spider-Man Miles Morales. Yeah. Great game. I mean, it's just so good.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a game I beat it like right. I just played right through it. I was not able to put it down. I think the story's good. I think the characters are good. I think Miles is like great. It plays super well. It looks beautiful on the PS5. It's so hard to find fault in Miles Morales. I think the main complaint would be it's not that long, which I think is wonderful. You know, it's there's plenty to do. I, you know, even though it was technically short, I found myself spending plenty of time with it. I probably have 40 plus hours in it right now.
Yeah, that's pretty significant.
And I spent a lot of that time just zipping around, right? And like unlocking the suits and, you know, just kind of doing all that stuff. So, you know, it's just a great game. I have so hard for me to find complaint in it. It's a bit milquetoast in that sense that it's just good. You know what I mean? It's not the coolest game of the year or like it didn't have the most like social impact. I didn't like spend time with friends or, you know, call people to tell them about it. It's just great, you know?
Yeah, and I think we talked a little bit about this last week with Ghost of Tsushima, but like there is something really wonderful about competence, you know? Like just being this game is not setting things on fire, but it just does everything really well. Like I feel like that's become a bad word somehow, being like, yeah, it did everything really well, but it didn't shift the paradigm. It's like, dude, who cares, man? Like just made a fucking kick-ass superhero game. Like that's enough.
Yeah, and I feel like that's kind of a theme on a lot of my games. Yeah. It's just like, they're just good. Yeah. You know they're what I mean?
Competent,
like
competent, well-made, fun, good games.
Yeah, like, they're just good all around, and that's like enough. My number three is Astro's Playroom.
Yeah, Kind of a dark horse, huh? Who would have thought we'd be talking about Astro's Playroom even a month ago?
Yeah, the free pack-in with the PS5. And I will say PS5 kind of took over this list too, right? Yeah. Like, I think those games in that system just had a big impact as far as how those games play. And as a PC gamer, making those games, like, really digestible for me.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I always kind of dreaded going back to my PS4 to experience games in 30 frames, right? Because they just look so bad.
Yeah. And everything's slow as fuck.
Everything's so fucking slow, yeah, right?
It's
yeah,
so like, loud. You know, yeah.
Yeah. Like, all that. It's just the experience was so bad.
It just feels creaky. Yeah.
Yeah. And just being able to pick up my PS5 controller and, like, immediately be into my next mission of Miles Morales.
Yeah.
Within, like, 10 seconds, yeah. I can just, like, from everything off to, like, boom, you're doing the mission, is incredible. Yeah, and Astro's is like the epitome of that. It shows you just how cool the controller could be. The speed running thing I was talking about, like, is great. Like, it's a love letter to PlayStation. I love PlayStation. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I remember getting my first PlayStation. I've had every PlayStation. I don't know. I just love PlayStation. I love the games.
Yeah.
And I feel like Astro's just such a great job of just celebrating that, but not only being like a cheap pack-in that, like, points
it
back to all the stuff.
It doesn't
being,
just feel like a tech demo.
Yeah. It's still a great game.
Yeah.
You know? And so for that, it's my number three.
That's awesome. No, and the fact, like you said, that it's free and it's a pack-in, like, that's amazing. That could have very easily been a throwaway, and it's very cool that they took some extra time to actually really lean into its strengths and make it good. Can't wait to play
it. It's funny. I was actually playing it yesterday, okay? And I was sitting there playing it for a little while. My girlfriend was at work, so I'm just kind of farting around in it. And I didn't remember what happened in the game, but I was just like, I wonder if Phil Spencer plays this game.
Just
cries. It's like, why can't? Well, and it's like, why can't we do this? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like
why do we not know how to have fun? Why do we not know how to, like, celebrate ourselves and celebrate our audience? Like, why is this so out of reach for us? Because it seems like such a childish, like, easy thing in some ways to do.
Yeah.
You know, just make a cute mascot, have a little platformer, little fun, like, little fun maps and stuff to
just
explore.
Be a little tongue in cheek and kind of make fun of yourself a little bit, but, like,
yeah. It's not an abstract concept or anything.
And Nintendo's been doing it for 20 years.
Exactly. You know, and if you're Phil Spencer, you'd be like, why can't we do this? Yeah. Like, what is wrong with
we
us?
We have more money than any of these other companies. Why can't we just, it must be quite mystifying and frustrating, I would think.
Yeah. Like, it just showed to me, like, it did so much to, like, illustrate the divide between Xbox and PlayStation, right? To, like, just this little pack-in, right, is such in some ways, such a slap in the face to Microsoft, right?
Yeah, because, like, it just made it look easy, right? Sony's just like, oh, yeah, whatever. No big deal. No one was even talking about this.
Yeah, no one, it wasn't, like, a big announcement or anything. It's just, like, here's a fun little thing, and it's like, this is great.
Yeah.
Like, this is great, and it reminds me why I love PlayStation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I really am, I know I keep saying this, but I genuinely am quite excited to play that.
Yeah, it's great. It's super great. My number two game of the year is Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. what a great game.
Yep.
Like,
well, great in spite of itself, right? Like, it is a great, wonderful game, but it also is, and we're not the first people to talk about this, but, like, the online component was really, like, woefully incompetent. In a way that the
amazing.
Rest of the game is not. It's very strange.
It's amazing what that game could have been with competent internet access, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think about, like I was saying, I used to have Animal Crossing parties every week.
Yeah.
And we would, like, have all these games and stuff, but literally the first 25 minutes of those parties was trying to get everyone to an island.
And it's right? unnecessary.
Yeah, it was such a nightmare. It was the worst.
Like, look at Fortnite or Among Us or Genshin Impact. They're like, cross-platform play is not a new thing. Even fucking Dead by Daylight, which is the jankiest game I've ever seen in my life, is fine with cross-platform. Like, you can play against an Android user. So this idea that Nintendo just pretends like it's a... like, they just don't give a shit in a way that is so mystifying. when they clearly care so much about every other aspect.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just funny they always hide around, like, well, you gotta protect the kids, yeah, you know, like, and it's like...
From having a good online experience.
Yeah, like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, it's crazy.
It's very strange. Animal Crossing,
despite all of its flaws, yeah, right, what a great game. Wonderful. What a perfect time for that game. Yeah. What a beautiful game, yep, right? Like, that to me, that's what's so impressive, is we have this, like, underpowered handheld.
Yeah.
And Animal Crossing just looks amazing.
And it sounds amazing. The sound design is, like, really extraordinary.
The sound design is incredible. Like, and just spending time with people in that game is so fun. Like, I have distinct memories of sitting in the museum with my friends, right? And, like, watching the bugs fly around. Or, like, you know, when, like, the first person got... like the aquarium, yeah, right, yeah, out of our friends, and we all went and looked at their aquarium. Like, that shit is crazy.
Those are,
you know?
And those are fucking real memories, you know?
Like, yeah, those are real memories.
Pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, going to my girlfriend's meteor showers, yep, right, so we can collect meteors, right? Like all that stuff is just, it's so real, and it's so, tangible,
yeah,
you know? And I think that's the main thing. Animal Crossing is just so tangible in the way it creates memories and experiences.
Yeah, and it is, you know? Just, this is not a great word to use, but it's just so, like, pure, you know? Like, it's so, yeah, good at the one thing it wants to do. And Animal Crossing always has been. Like, they've always been very good ever since the, you know, well, I never played the 64 DD one, but, you know, like, it's always, even the GameCube one immediately was like, oh, this is what they're doing. And they're doing it very well, and no one can compete. And that is just, yeah, they're continuing to do that despite the bizarre technological limitations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great game.
Yeah, no,
so
for sure.
Last but not least, my Tony's Techia Games Game of the Year.
I can't believe this.
You can't believe it, really?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. If it's Ghost going, yeah,
of Tsushima.
Yeah, I was, yeah, not expecting that. Even a few months ago, when I was talking about how fun it was, and you're just like, pff.
I wouldn't have expected that a few months ago, right? Like, this game totally snuck up on me. It, especially, like, playing the single player, I'm like, this is really good. Like, I really like this single player game. It's, yeah, a very good game.
Yeah, it's competent. Like we were saying, it's very good.
Yeah. Like, this is a great single player game. I like the stories. The cutscenes are great. It looks beautiful, yep, on the PS5. Like, this is a good game.
It's very confident.
Yeah. And then Legends, like, I got into Legends and was just like, this is, like, the best game I've played in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, this is the game I want to boot up my PS5 to play. Like, this is what I was looking for, right? Like, what's that game that you're trying to get your friends to buy,
yeah,
so that you can get in party chat at night and play together? Because for me, that's, like, Ghost of Tsushima, right? Like, if I could get people on board for playing Legends, like, that would be the thing where what Destiny used to be,
yeah,
right?
Where it's, or what, like, Destiny's trying to be.
What Destiny's trying to be. Destiny used to be that for me, right? Yeah. Where I'd have a group of friends and we'd just have a chat going all the time, and you would jump in and out as you could play and, you know, just do content together. And for me, Ghost of Tsushima is that right now. Like, Legends is so fun. The base game is great. Like, yeah, it's just such a complete package of game that it really blew me away with what it is, you know, especially, you know, with Animal Crossing, it's such a great game, but, like, it fails in such spectacular ways.
Yeah.
I feel like Ghost of Tsushima just impresses you in such spectacular ways. It's the complete opposite, right? Things you think should be cumbersome and lame and less than they are always just more than you thought they were going to be. And I think that's, like, such a victory, right, for that game and for people that get to play it, right? If you choose to play that game, I think you're just going to be impressed. And I think that's such high praise.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've talked a lot about it too, purely from more of the single player experience, but even that I was completely blown away by, and the fact that they've, and unexpected, you know, I was like, from the beginning, I was like, ah, it's fine. It's Assassin's Creed in Japan. And in some ways I think it is, like, it, like we were talking about earlier, it's not paradigm shifting. It doesn't really do anything super new as far as gameplay goes, as far as a single player, but it's just fucking great. Like, something being really, really good at what it's trying to do, even if it's not reinventing everything, is immensely valuable. And then, as we've talked about, the fact that they just threw in this relatively complex and free, I can't state that enough, giant content update to make something that was already very good even better is like, I don't know, man. That's like a, that's a success story by every metric. And there was so little of that in 2020.
And the twists really work. You know, like you said, like it's like Assassin's Creed, and it very much is, right? But then they put these little, like, you know, little sprinkles on top, and you're like, oh, this is going to be dumb.
Yep.
And yet every time you challenge somebody and hold down the fucking button to attack, right, it's cool every time.
Yeah.
Like, somehow it's cool every time, and it shouldn't be cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is a dumbass mechanic.
Yeah.
It is not.
It is.
Great.
And yet.
Right? But it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I love it. It's better than it has any right to be.
I think that's exactly right. That's the impression I got, because I bought it like day one, played the shit out of single player, put in, I think, 40, 50 hours, really cleared almost everything, and was just like, yeah, this is just delightful.
Yeah.
And like Assassin's Creed in Japan, like, yeah, what the hell is wrong with that? That sounds fucking awesome. And it was.
Yeah, I think they're really blessed that they never made Assassin's Creed in Japan, because that would have ruined this for somebody.
Yeah, I think that's true.
You know, like... Yeah. And you know, it paid off. I think their version's far better than EA's would have been.
Yeah, or Ubisoft. Yeah.
Ubisoft, that's it. Sorry.
Yeah.
They're the same shitty company to me, so.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of crossover there for sure.
All right. So do you have a game of the year for this year?
I think,
I don't know if you have a top five, because I put together a top five.
No, I mean, but... I think I'm glad you did. The truth is, as usual, I'm pretty in line with what you were thinking of. I think, again, the game that really excited me the most and that I was the most enthusiastic and really played the most of, I don't know if by hours, but really like took the most of my mental attention, was Persona 5 Royal. And I know I've talked at length about the fact that I like fucked up and started the entire game over again and ended up playing, I think, 275 hours in total of Persona 5, because it's just so incredible. And you know, I don't have a whole lot to add that you haven't already said, other than it's just like an insanely competent and wonderful and beautiful and fascinating game. And I can't say it's the game of the year just because it is sort of a weird dark horse where it's just essentially an expansion pack, but...
You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, no, I know. I guess I'm trying to justify by saying, like, the game I played the most and made the biggest impact on me was Persona 5 Royal. And that is a game I will go back to possibly every year. And it's a game I love so much more than I've loved any game in a very long time. And I can't overstate that. As far as game of the year, if I had to choose, though, I do think Animal Crossing is the go-to. Just because it was so delightful, like you said. It was so fun to play. I spent a lot of time with it. I did not spend 200 hours with it, but every moment I did spend with it, despite the frustration of the technical limitations, was not just positive, but like really remarkable. And I think that idea that we created memories with other people can't be overstated. And maybe it was in the right place at the right time. Maybe it was just such a shitty year, regardless of the reason. I don't think there's been a game that's made such a substantial cultural impact. I don't know if ever in my life, but certainly not recently. And I can't overstate that. And also, like you said, it's just a wonderfully competent, cool game that I love deeply. So That would be my guess. The other ones you mentioned, though, Ghost of Tsushima was amazing. Loved it. Absolutely thought it was great. But, yeah, if I had to choose one, it would be Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I think Animal Crossing really took that formula to a level of fidelity and a system that is so popular that really allowed it to... You know, I think the atmosphere around it definitely helped. But I think regardless, just the quality of the game and the popularity of the hardware and just the whole ecosystem around it really gave it this opportunity to shine.
Yeah. And just the
especially
vibe,
like this,
you know,
this world of social media, you know, it's just such a different time now that those kinds of things are allowed to, like, you know, there was never Discord before for Animal Crossing, right? Like, now people are always voice chatting and always in chat rooms and always ready to, like, hey, you want to jump on? Boom. Right.
Yeah.
Where Nintendo, that's never been available to Nintendo players, you know?
Yeah. And again, this is like in spite of itself, right? Like, despite the level of complete social incompetence that the game exhibits, it still managed to be that connective tissue that really everyone needed. And that's really quite extraordinary.
I think, you know, I think we have a Tekkia Games game of the year for 2020. And I think it's Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Yeah. I have no issue with that. Like, that makes a lot of sense to me. Kind of, it's kind of like a strangely easy answer, but the more I think about it, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not
controversial.
Controversial, yeah. Right? But I think it's, you know, it's not controversial because it's like true.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
exactly. I think that's really the point, right? You can be like, well, that's an easy answer. It's like, of course, because it's the best game of the year.
It's the easiest answer. You know? Yeah. So sorry, okay. Doom Eternal.
Yeah, so we didn't even mention it.
I am going to play that game very soon. I'm excited about it, but yeah, I don't know. Just need to mention Doom Eternal, you know?
All right, you guys, round of applause for Animal Crossing. Leo, you can go ahead and masturbate again.
Finally. Jesus.
if you out there, you loved Animal Crossing, or if you didn't, or if you had your own game of the year, reach out to us, Techia Games. Techia Podcast gmail.com. You know how to find I forgot what we were. Techia. I'm such a derp. You know how to find us. We love you. Leo, is there anything else you want to touch base on before we get out of here?
No, just as always, I'd love to hear y'all's opinions, especially on something as subjective as Game of the Year. Like, I'd love to hear why, you know, why we're wrong or why we're right, or some game we haven't even discussed, why that should be the Game of the Year.
And I want to hear why you hate Cyberpunk, too.
Yeah.
I feel like there's so much, like, vitriol around Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, if you bought it on PS4 and it doesn't work, like, I understand being mad. But, like, I am shocked by the amount of people who are like, the game is just, like, it's such an empty world and the characters are terrible. And I'm just like, nah, I don't think so. You know, like, that's not really the vibe.
You sure about that?
Yeah. It reminds me of Last of Us 2 as well, where people are like, the writing is just fucking, it's a joke. And you're just like, I don't know.
Actually, it's extremely good at what it's trying to do.
Yeah, like, maybe you just don't read. Maybe that's why you don't know what writing's supposed to look like. I'd love to hear your takes on that stuff too. TechiaPodcast@gmail.com is probably the best place to send it.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. We love you. We appreciate you spending time with us this week, and have a happy holiday. Hell, we're really fast approaching at least the holiday we celebrate, Christmas. And if that's the one you are, happy holidays. If you just got through Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, solstice. I'm excited about the solstice. Hell yeah.
If you celebrate something else, enjoy.
Yeah.
And we love you. Thank you guys, and go play some games. We'll be right back.